loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back into Pick and Pod. I'm Chaz McAdams here with Angel Decret and Joe Henry. We got a lot going on around the NBA, Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, the Boston Celtics, Joe and I's Boston Celtics. Finally, one out again, are going back to the NBA Finals. And what we thought was going to be a sweep in the Dallas-Minnesota series has turned out not to be so. But first of all, just checking on you guys. How do you feel about both series going on so far before we get into things deep?
One thing I just want to say is I didn't realize I was with a crew of both Boston fans, so now I feel like I'm just outnumbered. But it's, you know, it's all good. The basketball playoffs have been pretty good. You know, Boston's sweep was pretty much expected. I didn't expect Dallas to win in four, so I'm glad we still got basketball tonight. I'm just ready to keep on going with the playoffs, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's been a great playoffs thus far. And I think, you know, the Celtics series, it panned out, I think, how we expected. But I think it was a much closer series than the final scorecard says. You know, as far as sweeps go, I mean, pretty much all of those games were close. And I think the same can be said over on the West, where I don't think anyone expected the Mavs to be up 3-0 against this Timberwolves team that was like the talk of the league last round. But I think we're setting up for, you know, we're only game five. They're down 3-1. I think that they could make a run at this. Obviously, no team has ever come back from a 3-0. I'm very excited for the game tonight, and I expect yet another close game between these two teams.
A lot going on, obviously, around the league, but I want to go back east-wise, obviously, because with this crew, we got to talk Celtics. Joe, Henry, and I, obviously, very excited to see the Celtics back in the finals. Angel, not so much, but it's definitely going to be interesting, and I want to get your gauge on how you think, because there's a, with Tatum being back in the finals, there's a lot of narrative around him and how he's doing, and he hasn't had the greatest efficiency of players. It's been pretty inefficient so far in the playoffs, shooting below 30% from three, but undeniable what he's putting out in the stat sheet has been fantastic. So for starting with Angel, then going to Joe, how do you feel about Jason Tatum as a leader going into the NBA Finals?
Well, when it comes to the Celtics, I think anyone would agree that Tatum is the leader of the Celtics. Like, that's your number one guy, right? And efficiency wise, he has been struggling, but he's still racking up 30 points a game, 25 at minimum, right? He's still getting you like top, at least top two scoring in the game. And with the finals coming up, this is his chance to kind of put his name on the map. Like, if he can take over this series in the finals, if it's against the Mavericks, if it's against the Timberwolves, and not only win himself the first ring, that just puts him on another trajectory with the Celtics and being a leader. And I know they have other help. I know they have Jaylen Brown, who just won the MVP for the Interconference Finals. But I think this is Tatum's series to lose. I think it's make or break. If he's going to be efficient, if he's going to be good, the Celtics should not be losing the finals.
None of these narratives persist if the Celtics win the finals. All the talk about Tatum questioning whether he can be a leader, whether he can be the number one guy on a finals team. You look at the efficiency and the three-point shooting numbers, especially the first two rounds, he did struggle. I don't think he was playing at his best against the Cavs, against the Heat. But he was tremendous in this Pacers series. 25, 10, and 5 for the series, or 10 and 6. This is a guy who's evolved significantly as a playmaker, and we saw that in the series. So even when the Pacers were trying to take away him as a scoring option, he was making all the right plays with the ball, and you have such a slew of options for the Celtics, right, for him to go to, and he's been utilizing that. I thought this was his best series yet. I expect him to build on that, and hopefully if they can close it out and bring Banner 18 home, I think that all these narratives questioning Tatum's place among the NBA's best today dissipate.
Yeah, I mean, the no championships has been the money on his back. Tatum has made the playoffs every year of his career. He has been a leader for about four of those. I think he's the natural leader of this team for sure. And I think there's a definite sense of there's a definite the him versus Brown narrative, especially with everyone talking about the drama after he was like, "Did Tatum not celebrate Brown's win?" Like, it doesn't matter. I don't think anyone on this team really cares about the conference finals. I think it's championship or bust. That's where we're at right now, in terms of green and white. And I really, it's hard for me to swallow these media narratives constantly of Anthony Edwards being better than Tatum, like blah blah blah, blah. People made Shea being better than Tatum, Brunson, who I think had a better season, but like being better than Tatum. There are very few people that if I had to start an NBA franchise with today, I would choose over Jason Tatum. He is that good. He is that guy that can get it done for you on both ends of the court. He's a fantastic passer. No one talks about that. His playmaking has been ridiculous in this playoffs. He's leading the Celtics in assists so far when they have two pretty great passing guards. So I just don't really understand the hate that Tatum, or I understand where it's from, because I mean, when the chips have been down, he has not shown up. He had a terrible finals versus Golden State in 2022. I'm honestly getting sick of hearing over and over again that the Mickey Mouse run, it's like no matter what, the Celtics are just held to a higher standard. And I get it. Like, it's really easy. All these other little boy teams' necks hurt because they look up so much at the top. Who's at the mountaintop? Look, it is. It's the kids from Beantown. So I really don't understand. Like, all this hate. I mean, like, I'm genuinely, and maybe it's because I work in New York media, but I don't understand the hate that the Celtics get. Like, they're the most hated team in the league by far, and they have been for so long. And what, it's just because they're good? Like, I didn't know everyone was that jealous.
That's what comes with the territory. Like, especially when you're a team that won 64 games, you're going to receive the hate, especially in the New York fan base. But just in general, when it comes to like the Celtics, and when you're the star of the Celtics, like Jason Tatum is, and you have a bad series, if you're not efficient, you're going to be targeted. Like, those are the people that are going to be looking at you specifically. Jaylen Brown might have a 40-point games in the series, and he might be the one that's winning the MVP of the series. But at the end of the day, they're gonna keep looking at who the true star is, which is Tatum. And if Tatum doesn't like step up, and if you can't just leave it only strictly to Brown and the rest of the role players, then that's problematic. And you talked about it, right? Tatum's been in the playoffs every year, made the finals once, and now twice this year. It's almost like he's at the Eastern Conference Finals every single year at this point. So like, the experience is there for Tatum. Like, he is getting to the part where you should be as a Celtic and been good for all these years. It's just he hasn't been able to go another notch to, go past what you're expected. You're expected to win championships and you keep failing short. So as long as you keep failing short, you're always going to get that narrative that like you're not good enough or there's people better than you. So that's why Tatum just has to shut down the noise this finals. Like, it's make it or leave it, Like, if he wants
Oh,
to
bro, I
erase
don't
this,
understand. Sorry, I do not
nah,
understand
go.
that narrative, that make or break narrative. Dude, Tatum is 26. Can we
He's
relax?
young and he's a
Jordan
unique
didn't win his first
player.
ring before until 28. Michael didn't win his first ring until 28. Kobe didn't win his first ring solo until he was like 30. So I just
He
don't understand why Tatum, his
is a
championship
unique
window's
player
closing.
who has gotten so much pressure since he got into the league. I mean, his rookie year was highlighted by almost being LeBron to the finals. And then after that, they just have all this praise for Tatum. And as he's grown, he's just the hate is just coming with it. You're right. He's young. Like, there's so much time that he has, but when you are naturally good at your size and you can do almost everything, and sometimes he doesn't even take advantage that he can do everything. So that's also what's troubling, and like that hurts because Tatum can beat his defenders 9 out of 10 times, but he makes it harder for himself, and he brings the narrative to him when he easily can just be the best player on the court every single day.
Joe, I need your thought. Joe, I need your thoughts on this. I
I
need
guess I have
I
so
needed
much to say about
assistance
this.
here.
I have so much to say. I think my number one issue with the amount of hate that Tatum has gotten this playoff stretch has been he has a great series against Indiana. he gets some flowers for it, not a ton. There's still all these narratives going on even after we win. You know, if the Celtics win by five, it's, oh, how come they didn't win by more? Like, what do you want them to do? My biggest issue, you look at the way Anthony Edwards has played this series. He had a good game four, led the team in all major statistical categories. But games one through three, he was outperformed by not just Luka, but also by Kyrie. And you don't see anyone giving Anthony Edwards the type of flack that Tatum gets for one bad game, for one bad half. And I do get what you're saying, Angel, about him putting those media narratives on himself with his play style. I think that Tatum has honed in his play style well, but sometimes he will settle for threes or settle for those tough middies when he can just get inside. And you know that he's stronger and faster than virtually any defender in the league, and that he can get whatever look he wants inside. It can be frustrating when that happens, but I think at the end of the day, you compare him to other superstars in terms of the versatility with which he can score and his effectiveness on the other end. I think that's what puts him in the conversation among the top, you know, 7-8 guys in the league, is that you talk about like a Luka Doncic. I'm not trying to say that Tatum's definitively better than Luka Doncic, but Jason Tatum not only is a great offensive player like Luka Doncic, but he also is a great defensive player. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
You know why he doesn't get credit for that, Joe? It's because, oh my God, it's so frustrating. And this is going to be the most biased Celtics podcast ever, which I love. because the Celtics, Tatum is the worst defender in the starting five. But that doesn't mean he's a bad defender at all. It's just the Celtics are so elite at defense. So elite. I don't care. They're a better defensive team than Minnesota. I really don't care about Rudy Gobert, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Ant getting busted by Kyrie for the first three games.
I agree.
I don't care about defensive.
The way that they're getting exposed by this PNR from the Mavs.
It's absurd. Yeah. We'll talk about the X's and O's of that in a sec. But there's no way that the Celtics aren't the best defensive team in the league. They're number one in net rating like every year. It's just because Tatum always gets assigned to the worst offensive player because he's just the worst defender in the starting five. It's because Jrue Holiday is obviously elite. Derek White is elite. Jaylen Brown is one of the best wing defenders I've ever seen play basketball. Truly, I truly think that. His versatility there is insane, and he's so strong.
Actually, I would have said that Tatum's a better defender than Brown until this year. Brown really took a leap this year on defense.
I think Brown took a dip last year. But like finals, Brown was insanely good. Wiggins did play well, but like Brown was still doing his thing there. And then before that, like Brown has always been a great defender. He's always been super quick.
But to your point, like you talk about the defense that Celtics have, you don't need Tatum to be your best defender. You don't even need him to be your top three defender. So, like, just for him being a good enough defender, even in the Pacers series, like, he was willing to guard Haliburton before he's got injured. Like, he's willing to guard the best player on the opposing team. And he doesn't get exposed on defense most of the time. Like, he knows how to stay in front and is an impact player on both sides of the court. That just makes him much a better player. But to that point, yeah, I agree. Celtics probably the best team defensively throughout the entire year, throughout the playoffs. I even give that over the Timberwolves. So that's kind of like what's going to be the edge going into the finals. But you don't need Tatum to be the defensive guy that we're talking about, or even a two-way. If he is that guy that's getting you 30 points and efficient shooting, and then the rest of the team who are better defenders, like you say, White, Holiday, and even Brown, and they do their thing on that side of the court, while Tatum is doing his thing on the offensive court, you're not going to be talking about how bad defensively he is or even mediocre, right? So as long as they do their role, then the media kind of, I believe, will calm down a little bit, at least on Tatum and on the Celtics.
I'm so glad that we didn't talk about the Pacers at all, because I know every game was close, but to be honest, it was never in doubt. I think that the Celtics showed that they can win in the clutch. 6-7 in the regular season on 3-point games. That's obviously improved after this series. I think there wasn't a margin of victory above 8 points. The Celtics were either blowing teams out or losing last year. So a lot of good stuff from them. Let's take a plane, move a few time zones, head west. Minnesota going down 3-0, but then that decisive game four. I want to talk about that game four. for a little bit because it was very impressive that they showed so much resolve and resilience, because it went like every other game. They were leading, they lost. Every game's been tight this series. What are your thoughts on this game four? Start with Angel, go to Joe.
Like you said, like, it was a must win for Timberwolves, no matter what. You know, finally, we talked about this on one-on-one. Who showed up finally for game four? It was Karl Anthony Towns, right? He starts hitting three after three, and you start thinking, like, this is the Towns that you needed the entire series, the entire playoffs. Edwards got his 26 points, and his shooting was better than normal. And I'm not going to lie. You can say if it's luck or if it was just good defense. Kyrie had a bad game. Luka was kind of like the only guy doing the thing for the Mavericks. So for the Timberwolves, as long as they had Edwards and Towns score with what they did, even though Towns got fouled out at the end, and then the rest of the team did their thing, that was enough to beat the Mavericks on the road. Now they come back tonight to Minnesota. And me personally, I think, and I said it in 101, that I thought the series would go at least five and won't be a sweep, and I still believe that. I think the Mavericks kind of adjust now. Win tonight, even though Towns and Edwards, they show their thing on the road, game four. I don't see someone like Kyrie, who had a terrible game last game, repeat it back-to-back. You know, I see him just improving, and Luka's going to continue doing his thing. And as long as those two are still averaging like 60 points as a duo, Towns and Edwards, they would have to have like subpar performances to beat that team, and not just the good and kind of decent performance they had in game four that was enough to survive.
Yeah, I have a similar thought process. As much as I want this series to get extended, I have concern about the Timberwolves' ability to do so, because in order for them to win a close game finally in this series in game four, a lot of things had to go right. First and foremost, Derek Lively was out, who had been killing them on the PNR, killing them inside. So they didn't have to go up against one of the Mavericks' best players, one. Two, they had the best game of the series for Kat and for Ant thus far. Both of them were on, and they still only won by a little bit. You're going to need them both to be on for the next three games in a row, and they've both had subpar series by their standards. And I think otherwise, you look at the shooting of Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, both of them struggled from the field. They were able to make things happen with the ball otherwise, playmaking. But you can't trust guys who are this prolific in the playoffs and have been this great this series to have three consecutive games in which both guys are shooting under 40% from the field, right? I just don't think that numbers like that are sustainable, and that's why I have trouble seeing the Timberwolves continuing to extend this series. As much as I'd love to see it, because I think that's just great basketball, and the series has been a blast to watch. My heart goes with the Mavericks, because every element that led to a Timberwolves win in game four wasn't something that I see being sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, that was magical. That Luka 4-point play, and he misses the free throw. And it's so Luka. He's like grabbing his jersey and biting it. Like, he's such a little baby, bro. I hate Luka.
How are we hitting Luka right now?
because Tatum gets called the worst complainer in the league, and I watch a Luka game, and I think he's gonna.
Oh no, no, Luka complains. I'll give you that.
He's a D1 gap, like, bro, and he doesn't play defense, bro. He takes plays off. Like, come on now, stop. But I genuinely believe that the Timberwolves can extend the series tonight, because people talk about efficiency as a metric to show players selling, and I think that the narrative on that needs to be switched to the defensive team making adjustments to make them inefficient. They're NBA players. They're going to make shots that are wide open. So why are they suddenly missing? Is because the Timberwolves made correct adjustments. I think that shows a lot, but I don't think it goes the other way, because Indiana shot 60 over 60% twice in the Celtics series, and the Celtics were playing. The Celtics defensive rating was super high. They got good shot contests. It was very ergo type basketball. Shout out to the Fordham Rams, but it was very good in that series. So I think that narrative needs to be switched a little. Like, I think they held them to under 40%, held them to under 40% as a duo. So I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see what goes on tonight. I'm expecting a big game out of Ant. Need a bigger game out of Naz Reid. Single-digit points is not going to get it done. to extend to a game six. Back in Minnesota, those fans always like to show out. Could be good.
It was everybody on the starting lineup for the Timberwolves that were in double figures. So, like, they did their thing. Edwards finally gained to 29 points. I know I mentioned Cat getting to 25 and efficient, like 4 for 5 for three. Like, finally he showed up. But it was also only a 5-point game. And the reason why I almost have no hope or believe the Mavericks can close it out today is because the same thing can happen with scoring wise for the Timberwolves. Towns can have that kind of game, 25 points, efficient shooting. Edwards can have 29 to 30 points, and the rest of the team can get double figures, right? But it was really Kyrie that was the difference. That's why, to me, like, it went their way in game four for Timberwolves to even win by 5, because Kyrie only had 16 points. It was 1 for 6 from three. Every time he shot the ball, it was almost a guarantee miss. So even if Kyrie just bumps it up to his normal, like, 24, 26 points in the game, that's a 10-point difference right there. And now Mavericks win game four in that case. So if I see Luka, who had 28 last game, had triple-double, if he repeats that, Kyrie adds another, like, 10 points and it's, like, 25, 26, then that's a difference maker, no matter what the Timberwolves do. The Timberwolves need not only their starting lineup to do what they – to repeat what they did game four, but like you said, Naz Reid will have to have a way better game. Alexander will have to show up somehow. Even Anderson will have to show up. Their bench has to do better. But after all, I think Kyrie and Luka's duo is just, if they're going to click, then there's no beating them.
It's a matter, for me, it's a matter of making an impact even when the defense is taking away your shots. And I think that's what the Mavericks have the capability of doing with Irving and Doncic. Because, Chaz, you talked about adjustments the Timberwolves have made. I thought a great adjustment they made game four that I imagine they'll stick with is they put Jaden McDaniels on Kyrie Irving, and it absolutely stifled him. Jaden McDaniels, second team All-NBA defender. And then you put Ant on Luka, which I think is awesome. Like, you know, I don't think Ant gets enough criticism, but one thing I respect him for is that he's not afraid to take those matchups. Whereas you look on the other side, the Mavericks kind of hide Luka in that, you know, bottom right corner every play and let him
they
take possessions
to. He's
off.
A bum.
Yeah, he's just not conditioned like that.
He's a cone, bro. He's a cone.
He can't play defense. We understand that. Like, if you're going to have Luka play defense, then you're not going to get him offensively. It's just like that. He can't be a two-way
player.
Yeah,
I honestly think he's capable of playing defense, but he doesn't have the conditioning to do it. So they choose to hide him.
He's a lazy loser, bro. Honestly. Like, he just does what he wants. He does what he wants. Like, he's like... Like, that's why, like, I think that the people, like, grouping Jokic into Luke and Luka together a lot, obviously, like, both, like, Eastern European, like, white guys that can, like, are dominating the league right now. But Jokic does what he has to do to get his team to win. I think Luka prioritizes Luka Doncic over the Dallas Mavericks. And I believe that. I think if he didn't, I think he loves the triple doubles. I think he likes winning, but I think he likes Luka winning. I don't think he likes the Mavericks winning.
I don't know why I feel about that, just because of how excellent he is as a playmaker. But I do feel like at this point in time, like, you look at the evolution of Jason Tatum in terms of his physique. He came into the league as a skinny guy, and now he's put on all this muscle, and that's helped him improve in all these aspects, specifically defensively. Luka Doncic, several years into the league now, he still isn't in tip-top shape that you'd maybe expect him to be. It feels like he could trim down a little bit and also put on some muscle and maybe become a more reputable defender for them. That's what's, like, a little odd for me, hard to fathom, is, like, why not this many years into the league when the rest of your game is so polished? Why not work on your physique in order to be a more impactful defender so it's not that you have to get hidden? I feel like that's something that is a reasonable step someone could take in the offseason, become a more complete player, especially when for Luka Doncic, he's already spectacular at every other facet of the game. I feel like that's just one step away. But going back to the necessity of the star players in this series to put up points, the difference for me is when the Mavericks have been stopped by Timberwolves defense, they found a way to still impact the game. Kyrie and Luka are still making great plays, passing specifically to the bigs, especially Daniel Gafford has just been insane this series on both ends of the floor. On offense, thanks to Luka and Kyrie getting him the ball. into drawing the opposition away from him. But on defense, he's been incredible. This is like, I did not expect this. But meanwhile, on the other side, you have Ant and Cat having poor performances games 1 through 3. They're not able to impact the game as much with their passing as Luka and Kyrie. And I think that that makes it more imperative that they have good short shooting performances. So when they don't, their team falls short in a more significant extent than the Mavericks do, because Luka and Kyrie have more ways in which they can impact the game, which is passing.
I completely agree. I think there is a lot, like, the dynamics to someone's game. I think you just can't have a one-dimensional game if you want to be a star in the modern NBA. Like, you have to be multifaceted. And depending on whether you get credit or that or not, doesn't really matter if you're putting up banners. So we are going to see a first-time champion in this. We talked about it when the conference finals happened, but, like, it's crazy to think that at the end of this season, either Ant, Tatum, or Luka is going to have their first NBA ring. It is crazy to think about that. But one final question. Angel, it's going to be tough for you, I know. Put yourself in the shoes of a kid from the 617 from Boston. If you are a Boston fan, and consider momentum, consider everything, consider the regular season. I know me and Joe have talked about this a lot. Who do you want? Do you want Dallas or do you want Minnesota?
Now it depends. As a fake Celtic fan right now, if I have Porzingis at 100%, that's what matters right now. If you have Porzingis, because you're going to have Brown, you're going to have Tatum. But Porzingis is really your key factor. If I have Porzingis, then I don't mind going against any team. It could be Timberwolves, it could be the Mavericks, because I think Porzingis is just that kind of a difference maker, especially both sides of the court. If I don't have Porzingis,
12-2 in the playoffs without him. Like, no one's talking about that.
You guys are successful without him, but now the West is different competition. Like, they have length. So that's why you need someone like Porzingis. Or you want Kornet playing 20 minutes a game. You tell me.
No.
So,
basketball player I've ever seen.
If I don't get 100% from Porzingis, or even at least 85, I would be afraid against a team like the Timberwolves because of the size they have with Gobert, Towns, Reed, even McDaniels. And I would prefer the Mavericks because they're more of a small ball team. Even though they have Lively and Gaffer like as their bigs, they can still play small ball. And the Celtics have Horford and people that can guard them better. So matchup wise, it really does depend on Porzingis' health. But if I'm going into the playoffs thinking, I mean, if I'm going into the finals thinking Porzingis is going to be fully healthy, the entire team is rested and ready to go, I would rather face the Timberwolves, because I just think the duo of Kyrie and Luka is more lethal against the Celtics. Even though you guys have defenders for them, it's just their backcourt with the playmaking and scoring, it can go any facet. And with the Timberwolves, I think you guys would be focused solely on stopping Edwards, and stopping Edwards would help you guys win that series easier, because then you're forcing Towns to be even a 30-point-per-game score, which he can be, but he's more reliable as a second man than Edwards.
I'm on the same page with you. I think I would prefer to face the Timberwolves, specifically given the momentum and how things have swung so far. I would prefer to see the Timberwolves because their offense has shown a lack of consistency. It's shown a lack of versatility in terms of how it can operate. You know, it needs their guys to be shooting well in order for them to be successful, whereas the Mavericks have a more of a breadth of ways that they can attack you. I also think the other big reason is a big media narrative has been the Celtics' ability to perform in the clutch, and I think that that's warranted given our, you know, postseason woes of years past and our lack of experience in close games this year. Then again, you look at the Pacers series, we won all those close games. I think that was a great test for us, and it ramps us up. But Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, two of the very best closers in the entire league, that's something that terrifies me as a Celtics fan. That's something that I don't want to go up against. Meanwhile, you have a Timberwolves team that has a little less playoff pedigree and whose offense has shown more volatility in late-game situations, where sometimes it's been great and other times it's looked abysmal. And I think it's kind of a similar story to the Indiana Pacers, whose offense sometimes looked great during the end of games, and sometimes that same, you know, run-the-floor, super fast-paced style of play absolutely killed them in that series. And I think it's a similar story where it's a team that doesn't have a ton of playoff experience and that has a lot of potential offensively, but has the trouble of putting it together in clutch moments, whereas the Mavericks, I think, are much more polished in that respect, and that's why I'd much rather see the Timberwolves.
Can I say one more thing? Actually, because I want to further on that point, I'll be real quick. I like the point that you made. Now, when it comes to the Timberwolves, I feel like they had the lead in every game from 1 to 3 in the final minutes and then choked it. Like, Mavericks stopped them from scoring the last 2-3 minutes, and then they went on a run, right? And then in game 3 in the Pacers-Celtics series, you saw Celtics come back from 18 down. So that, I think after that game specifically, coming back from 18 and the Pacers' offense at home being who they are, even without Halliburton, that proved to me that the Celtics are not just going to let a game slide and go to the next one. They're going to aim to win each and every game and go for the sweep. Even if they win in 5 or 6 games, they're still going to make it close. And if I'm the Celtics, I want a team like the Timberwolves because, like you said, late game situations, they kind of show that either they're going to be on or they're going to be off. There's no like middle ground. So the Celtics can take advantage of that with those comebacks. The Mavericks, on the other hand, have proven that if they're down, they're never out. They come back in almost any situation possible. You see that, you saw it in the first 3 games. And I would not be surprised if it was Mavericks Celtics, which I believe will be the finals after tonight, that any lead is almost not safe in for either team, because the Mavericks have the ability to come back and the Celtics have the ability to come back. So that's just, I'm gonna just end off right there.
Perfect. I would agree with you guys after game 3, but after game 4, the fact that the Mavericks, so before this series, I was Mavericks, Mavericks, Mavericks. The Celtics played way better against them in the regular season. They even let the Mavericks play their best games and still won by a comfortable margin this season. Luka got a triple-double in both games, and Kyrie never was scored under 20. And both of those games were after the Washington and Gafford trades. So I liked how the Celtics played against the Mavericks. I also think that the environment in TD Garden is going to rattle Kyrie. I don't think it's going to lock him in. I don't think he has that Mamba gene. And that sounds like that's super media narrative casual talk, but I really don't. I think he tries to prove something versus Boston and ends up taking bad shots like he did at the end of game 4. But then games 1, 2, and 3 of this series happen, and I'm like, Dallas is so hot and Minnesota looks so beatable. If they sweep, I definitely am going to be scared. But now that Minnesota got a game off, I think they win tonight as well in Minnesota. They go 6 games. Luka's been at a very high usage rate. He's never made it this deep into the playoffs. He's never played all the way into a finals. I mean, so he doesn't really have that durability to him, I don't think. So it was very fickle, but I think if the Mavericks do win the series, which I think they do in 6, I think Celtics in 5. I genuinely think that the Celtics will beat them in 5, and if they do, they'll beat them on my birthday, which will be super cool. So that'd be very sick. I like the Celtics versus the Mavericks because both games that they played against the Timberwolves in the regular season went to overtime. Don't love the Celtics in that aspect. They're kind of like the Bruins. Go to overtime and then lose. So a lot of interesting stuff going on, but I do take Celtics in 5 if they play the Mavericks. If the Timberwolves come all the way back from 3-0, first team to ever do it, then I don't know what's going to happen. But that, I think, is going to do it for us this week on Pick and Pod. I had a great time. Always good time talking to you boys about some basketball inside the 94x50 from the hardwood with Angel and Joe Henry. I'm Chaz McAdams. We'll see you next week on WFEV Sports Pick and Pod.